New Hope Christian Fellowship's podcast. Here you'll find inspiring motivation for everyday life.
So good to be with you. One time I was in my office in Bethlehem at the Bible College and looking at the email, and there was an email from Wayne inviting me to come here. Of course, if you are invited to come to Hawaii, you don't pray about it, you just go. So yes, I said, sure, I will come. But I didn't know what I'm coming for. Of course, I was attracted by the idea of the beauty of your paradise, you know, here. And I knew it will be a lovable place to come and visit the seashores and the trees and the nature and so on. But, you know, in a few days I'll go back to Bethlehem and to Jerusalem. And when people ask me, what did you see there? It's not going to be the seashores and the islands and the trees and the mountains and the nature. That is really great, but I'm going to tell them about what is happening here at New Hope. This is what really touched me more than anything else. And I just praise God for what He is doing amongst you. This is wonderful. And I just pray that God will continue to bless you, make you a blessing here in Hawaii, and also make you a blessing all over the world. And I look forward for partnership between you people and our people in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem. I am, yes, an Arab because I speak the Arabic language. I'm a Palestinian because my parents are Palestinian. We were born in the country that's called either Israel or Palestine, depending whether you are a Jew and Arab. The Jews call it Israel, and the Palestinians and the Arabs call it Palestine. But most of all, I'm a Christian. And that's number one in my life. Because, amen. Because Jesus Christ, right in Jerusalem, died on the cross for me. There He bore my sins. I came to Him in confession. I asked Him to come to my heart, and He did. And He made me a new creation. For me, this is the most significant thing in my life. It's so much important, more important than being an Arab or being a Palestinian or being anything else. And that's what makes us one family, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, regardless of our language, our dialect, our color, our race, whatever. We are all one people in Christ Jesus, and I thank God for this. Well, this morning, if you are willing, I would like to take you on a tour to the Holy Land. Don't worry, you don't have to pay me $2,000 each. I'll only take the tip. All right. All right. So, what we want to do, we want to get fasten our seat belts, get on the buses, because we are going to make a tour. And we are going to ride with the company of Jesus. We are going to ride with Peter and John and James. We are all going to be in the same bus, and we are going to go through some of the towns and cities that Jesus visited in the Holy Land and try to learn with the disciples what they learned as they followed in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for the tour?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. For a text, I have a text, and it is in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Well, the story, as we read in Luke chapter 5, is Jesus Christ coming to the Sea of Galilee. And there was a great multitude of people who wanted to hear Him preach. But, you know, the people are crowding Him, so He gets to a boat, the boat of Peter, and he stands in the boat, stands up in the boat, and he preached to the crowd on the seashore. And then after they dismiss the crowd, you know, Jesus looks to Peter and he says, go into the water, get far deep into the water, and lay your nets. Let's have some fishing. And Peter said, Lord, we have tried all night to fish. We did not even get one fish. It's worse than even fishing in Hawaii. But, you know, Peter said, okay, Lord, upon your name, I will cast this net. And he did. And they caught such big multitude of fish that, you know, Peter recognized there is something special about this man. He must be the Messiah. He must be the Son of God. And so he fell down on his knees. He started confessing his sins. And he said, get out, Jesus, from my boat. I'm a very sinful man. And Jesus kindly looked at him and he said, don't worry. Don't worry, Peter. From now on, you will be fisher of men. And then verse 11 in Luke chapter 5. After they finished everything, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything. They left everything and followed him. And this morning, this is what we want to do. We want to leave everything behind. We want to focus on Jesus. And we cannot follow him physically, but we can imagine that we are following him. So we are going to get to the buses right now, and we are going to hit our first spot. And our first spot is going to be the Jordan River Valley. The Jordan River Valley. All right, this is an interesting place. If you get on the flight, you fly to Tel Aviv. From Tel Aviv, we take a bus about an hour, and we get to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, we start going downhill towards Jericho. And there we go to the area where we see the River Jordan on one side and the Dead Sea on the other side. The unique thing about that area, it is the lowest area on earth. As a matter of fact, the Dead Sea is the saltiest and the lowest body of water anywhere on earth. So this is the site of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a place that is known in the Bible for its wickedness. In that wicked place, John the Baptist came first and he started preaching. And he would say, repent, repent, repent to the people, for a great man is coming. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is coming. And then Jesus followed soon after. And Jesus started preaching to the people. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The first word in the sermons of Jesus and also the sermons of John the Baptist was the word repent. They were calling people to repentance. And as the people repented, the water was very close. That's the Jordan River. They will take the people and baptize them. That's why we call him John the Baptist, because he kept baptizing people in water after they have already repented and confessed their sins. Now, even Peter, you know, when he met Jesus, he confessed his sin. But later on, one day, he became the great preacher on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit fell on him. And he had about 5,000 people listening to him. And when he preached, the people asked him, Peter, what must we do right now? And Peter said, remember? Peter said, repent. Turn back from your evil way and come back to God. Why repentance? Why does, you know, God call people to repent? Why did Jesus start with the gospel of repentance? It's because he realized that to enter the kingdom of God, you start with the repentance. You cannot skip. That is the key. You know, most of us have computers, and we know there are buttons that turn it on, and there are buttons that do different function. But if you want to turn the computer on, there is a certain button that you have to press. You can press 100 buttons and it doesn't turn the computer on. But there is one button that will turn it on. The button that will turn on the kingdom of God for you is the button of repentance. If you want reconciled life with God, if you want harmony with God, if you want peace with God, if you want forgiveness of your sin, if you want to start afresh with God, hit the button of repentance. Repent of your sins. You know, Repentance doesn't have only one time. It happens again and again and again. I mean, we sometimes repent, we come into the kingdom of God, but even in the kingdom, sometimes we are like, you know, in an atmosphere of humidity. And if you are in an atmosphere of humidity, you become humid. If we are in an atmosphere of sin, sometimes it sticks on you. And so we have to go back to God and ask for forgiveness. Jesus illustrated repentance when he said, two gentlemen, went to the temple to pray. One of them is called the Pharisee, and one of them is called the Republican. Oh, I did make the mistake. I was so careful before, but I thought I got it right. It's not the Republican, it's the publican. Believe me, it's the publican, all right? Now, it's the publican. Not, forgive me, all you Republicans, forgive me. I made a worse mistake, and my wife Brenda remembers that. I was invited to preach in a church, and my English was even worse than this. And I preached about the three kings who came to visit Jesus and to give him gifts. And I said they gave him gold and myrrh and Frankenstein. I did. And I really wondered why the people were laughing, because I didn't know any difference. Yeah. But the Pharisee came to God, and he was so proud of his religion. And he said, God, I thank you because I'm not like this evil man, this tax collector, this publican. Why? Because I fast and I pray and I do all of the ritual that you ask me. But the other guy, the tax collector, he, you know, would not get close even to the altar. From far away, he started beating on his heart, beating on his chest and say, God, have mercy on me. I am an awful sinner. Forgive me my sins. And then Jesus said, this man that confessed his sin, he went home completely free from sin, while the other man did not. Why? Because one man hit the right button of repentance. This morning, you can get out free from this place, completely washed from every sin, and you can just have the joy of God in your heart. Just come to God and confess. All right? What do we confess? For me as a Palestinian, it is so hard to repent for my sins because we live in an atmosphere of hate. We see our land being confiscated. We see our homes demolished. We see ourselves imprisoned by our enemies. And the spirit of hate always wants to come and dominate my heart. And so almost daily I have to go to God and say, God, I hate these people. Please have mercy on me and forgive me. So sometimes we have to have a, you know, ritual cleaning ritual almost every day to ask God to purify our hearts and make it as pure as gold. And I advise you, no matter what the sin, no matter how small or how big, come to God. And this is the good news, that as we come to God, he will forgive us. He will give us a new heart. He will give us a new mind. And we can go in the beauty and the freeness and the joy and the peace of life. The Jordan of repentance. Well, we don't want to stay too long in one place. You paid your money already, and we want to be fair with you. So let's get back into our buses, all right? We want to leave the Jordan River Valley, and we want to go up into the place where Jesus was raised as a child. It's called Nazareth. And from the Jordan River Valley, we go up north. And then we go a little bit to the west, and then back north again into a tall mountain. And there is the city of Nazareth, where Jesus was raised. Now imagine you yourself are sitting in the bus next to Peter, or next to James or John, or maybe next to Mary Magdala, or one of the many women who used to follow with Jesus and the disciples. And you ask, what do you expect, guys? What do you expect when we get to Nazareth? Oh, Peter would say, Nazareth, this is the home place of Jesus. This is where his friends, his buddies are. And so when we go there, they are going to spread a big banquet for us. They are going to bring out the music, and we are going to be celebrities in that town. They were really surprised. They were really shocked because Jesus went into the synagogue and he started preaching. And the people did not like his preaching. First, they liked it, but then he started, you know, messing up in his preaching, talking about things they don't like to hear. And they immediately, they took him, they grabbed him, and they start rushing him into the hill where their city is built on to try to throw him in the valley and to try to kill him. But miraculously, he escaped from them because it was not his time to die. Oh, the disciples, can you imagine the shock and the surprise? Oh, they were expecting good stuff in Nazareth, and it just totally was bad. It was a very, very bad experience. Well, what was Jesus trying to teach the disciples in Nazareth? Why would he take them even to Nazareth, knowing, you know, what kind of situation they are going to get into? You know, this is why I call it the Nazareth of rejection. Jesus was rejected by his own people. The disciples were rejected in Nazareth. They had a terrible experience, as if Jesus was saying to the disciples, listen, guys, if you follow me in this world, if you want to be my disciples, if you want to walk in my footsteps, from time to time, expect rejection. And if you are not willing to accept rejection, you cannot really follow me all the way and be my good disciples. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. If you follow me, sooner or later, you are going to be confronted with a world that doesn't understand you. You like truth. They don't like truth. You live in love. They don't like love. You live in peace. They don't like that peace. You want to be honest. They don't like honesty. So there will be confrontation. If you live for Jesus Christ, Paul said, sooner or later you will be persecuted for your faith. And if we want just to take the beautiful elements of Christianity and just live in those and just forget about the cross, forget about the cross, we cannot be good followers of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, if any man, if any woman wants to be my disciple, they need to deny themselves, carry up their cross, and follow after me. I hope to God that you also are willing to go with Jesus through the Nazareth of rejections. Sometimes Muslims, when they come to Jesus Christ in our country, they are rejected or disowned by their families. Sometimes their life is even threatened. Jews also, if they believe in Jesus Christ in my country, it's very difficult. Some of the times they want to keep it secret, because if they go to the open, they will be persecuted by their own people. But I think even here in this lovely island, if people really trust in Jesus Christ and live for Jesus Christ, sooner or later, they are going to be confronted by a world that does not love the truth and don't love honesty and don't love the ways of Christ. But let us be faithful to Christ as we follow him. That was Nazareth of rejection. It's not a good place. Let's get out of here. All right, back to the buses. All right, back to the buses. Let's get to some nicer place. All right, you deserve your money worth. All right, so we get to the buses now, and we go down the hill with the disciples and with Jesus, and we go to Capernaum. Now, although Nazareth was the city of Jesus, since they rejected him, Jesus made Capernaum his new city and his new headquarters. So most of the miracles of Jesus that we hear about in the four Gospels happen in or around Capernaum. The feeding of the thousands, the healing of the sick. Jesus went to the synagogue. He preached and the people accepted his preaching. The sick people and the demon-possessed will come and Jesus will touch them and heal them. It was a great time of ministry. Great, wonderful time of ministry. And Jesus went to Peter's home. His mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus laid his hand on her. He touched her and he healed her. And Peter never forgave him, and that's why he denied him 3 times later in life. All right, no. No, we take that back. All right. But Nazareth was a place of great ministry, and as if Jesus was teaching his followers, his disciples, and he is teaching us today, if you really want to follow me, you must minister to other people. Jesus made it so clear to the disciples. He said, the Son of Man, I am. The Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but he came to minister to people. I did not come so people can serve me. I came to serve people. And he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Not so that everybody will serve you, but so that you can minister to the needs of people around you. If you want to follow Jesus Christ will certainly take you to the Capernaum of ministry, to teach you ministry. I noticed, you know, going through this island, I noticed a sign that says, adopt a highway. Have you seen that sign? All right. I'm sure all of us have seen that sign, adopt a highway. And Jesus would say to us today, adopt a ministry. Adopt a ministry. There are so many needs around us and so many needs around the world. And what we need to do is open our eyes. Let God give us a vision of a need and then apply ourselves to that need. You may say, well, you know, I don't have anything. I don't have talents. I don't have money. I'm not that smart person. Don't worry about it. If you decide you want to serve other people, God will give you the wisdom and the means to serve them. Those disciples of Jesus did not have money. They were not so talented people, but as they walked with Jesus and applied themselves to help the needs of other people, God's power was on them, and God gave them the means to serve other people. Jesus will break the bread, he gave it to the disciples, and it will multiply in the hands of the disciples, and so they were able to feed the multitudes. You know, it happened to us at Bethlehem Bible College. In 1996, the people were coming to knock at our door to ask for charity. We had about 60% unemployment in Bethlehem, and a lot of people were very, very poor. And, you know, we'll say, sorry, we are not a charitable organization. We are a Bible college. We here teach the Bible. We have classes. We don't have food pantry. We don't have any means to help. But the people kept knocking at our door asking for charity. And then we sat down together one time, the staff and the administration, and we said, what must we do? And one of the teachers said, you know, Jesus said, give them to eat. You know, he got it from the Bible. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You know, we didn't have the money, we didn't have the ability, but we decided, yes, we will do that. We took whatever little money we have, about a couple of $1,000s, and we started an organization called the Shepherd Society, Jesus the Great Shepherd, and we decided we are going to feed the hungry and help the sick. And we started. As we started, when we started, you know, doing this, God started blessing us until we got to the point where every month we spend $40,000 in feeding the hungry. Out of nothing. It's not because we have it. We did not have it. It's because we obeyed God. Once we obeyed God, God supplied the need. So don't say, God, I cannot serve you because I'm limited. Start serving God, and God will show you all the potential that you have, and you can honor him. So follow Christ into the Capernaum of ministry. Now, the disciples were very happy in Capernaum. It was not like in Nazareth where they rejected Jesus. They would have stayed in Capernaum, each of them build a church in Capernaum, but Jesus said, no, I must go somewhere else. And so Jesus rose up one day early in the morning to get out of Capernaum. And Luke describes it this way. It's like, you know, playing hide and seek with the people of Capernaum. Christ trying to hide away and get out of the city, and the people were trying to catch him and keep him in the city. And finally, the people caught up with Jesus, and they said, Lord, stay here with us. I mean, we are enjoying this healing feeding and ministering the word of God to us. This is wonderful, Lord. Just keep doing that. But Jesus stood very solid, and he looked at the people of Capernaum, and he said, I must go to the other towns and villages. For this reason, the Father has sent me. And immediately he went out of Capernaum to minister to other countries. Now, imagine, you are a journalist with CNN. Now, that first C is not, for CNN, the same news media that you have. No, that first C is for Capernaum, all right? So suppose you are, a journalist with CNN, and you go to Jesus, put the microphone right in his face, and say, Jesus, why are you leaving Capernaum? And Jesus would say, well, I minister to your hungry here. There are other people hungry somewhere else. I need to go and minister to them. I heal the sick here in Capernaum. There are sick people somewhere else in Palestine, in Israel, in the Holy Land. I need to go and minister to them. I have preached the good news here, but there are some people somewhere else. Jesus was always looking for somewhere else to do ministry. And I hope we learn this. We minister here, we minister there, we minister out there. We minister everywhere there is a need. That's why I would say adopt a ministry. And see a need, have a vision of the needs of the people around you. But you cannot call yourself a Christian, you cannot call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ if you are not willing to minister to other people. Well, Capernaum is a nice place, but Jesus left it, and we need to get back into our buses and get out of Capernaum, and we need to go to Jerusalem. All right? Now, the disciples didn't want to go to Jerusalem. If Peter was driving the bus, he would have turned another way. He would never have gone to Jerusalem. And I think all of the disciples would have steered the bus somewhere other than Jerusalem. But Jesus said to them, we must go to Jerusalem. One of the disciples said, Lord, there are rumors. People in Jerusalem want to kill you. They don't like you. They don't like your preaching. They don't like your sermons. Forget about Jerusalem. Let's go somewhere else. But Jesus knew that in Jerusalem, he had to do the great sacrifice. He had to die for the sins of humanity. Jesus knew that he must go to Jerusalem to fulfill the desire of God, to be the Lamb of God, that his blood will be shed for the remission of the sins of the entire world. And so the disciples reluctantly followed Jesus into Jerusalem. I call it the Jerusalem of sacrifice because we know, and the disciples knew, that Jerusalem is going to be a very tough place. There's a cross in Jerusalem. There is imprisonment in Jerusalem. There is fear in Jerusalem. There are soldiers coming to Jesus, beating on him. There's blood and tears in Jerusalem. It was a tough place. And yet Jesus courageously went up to Jerusalem. It's the Jerusalem of sacrifice. What does it mean to us as followers of Jesus today? What it means is that if we follow Jesus through the Jordan of repentance, if we repent of our sins and accept him in our hearts, if we go through the Nazareth of rejection and we become tough and we are willing to confess Jesus as Lord, and if we go through also the Capernaum of service and we are willing to minister to the needs of others, then God looks at you, at us, and he says, wow, this is the kind of person I really like. I want to give him a greater challenge. I want to give him a bigger mission. I want to set him on a higher ground. I want to call him into the Jerusalem of sacrifice. You know, my wife and I were teaching schools in Georgia, here in the United States. We just finished our master's degree. We were so happy with our salary. We thought we'll build a villa somewhere on the mountains of North Georgia, and we'll just live happily there forever, you know, living the American dream. And then my brother Bishara from Bethlehem wrote us a letter, and he said, I am starting a Bible college in Bethlehem, would you come and help me? It was difficult. He didn't have a penny to send us. No insurance, not even the ticket to travel from Georgia back to Palestine. He had nothing, nothing at all. And we have to decide whether we are willing to drop everything and go to Jerusalem. Forget about the American dream and go somewhere where we had no assurance of anything. Now, I thank God because we made the decision. At that time, it was very hard to make the decision. We prayed about it. God said, go. We went, but we were scared and afraid. But now we thank God when we see what God has done through the Bible College. When we see the ministry spreading all over in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, when we see the pastors and the teachers who are taking the Word of God to their community, we thank God for us obeying God and going to our Jerusalem. Now, I don't mean that you people here need to get out of here and just go to your tour agent and buy a ticket to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem could be your next door neighbor who so badly need the grace of God, who so badly need to hear the good news of the kingdom of God. And you have it. And you know, you have Christ. You have the joy of Christ and the peace of Christ. He or she doesn't have it. Jerusalem is for you to step out of your comfort zone and to go to him or to her. Jerusalem may be going to the homeless people, as your pastor Wayne said, you know, to start a ministry with the homeless people. Just rub shoulder with these people that are, you know, sometimes they are stinky, you know, they are maybe alcoholic, they are drugged and so on. Just love them and hug them. That may be Jerusalem. Jerusalem may be going to sub-Sahara Africa and minister to people who have the AIDS disease. Whatever God calls you to, sometimes God gives you a great challenge. When you respond to it in faith and trusting God, you are obeying God and you are going through Jerusalem. Why? Because so often we want God to bless us and God is ready. We say, God, please multiply my ministry, expand my borders, make me fruitful for you. You know, God likes this prayer. You know, he answers it. But the way God answers it, he says, there is Jerusalem. Go up to Jerusalem. Yeah, there may be a cross, there may be sacrifice, there may be tears, there may be blood, but also there is an empty tomb. There is a resurrection. There is fruitfulness. There is joy. There is happiness. Can you imagine the joy of the disciples when they saw their Lord, the risen Lord, standing in the midst of them? And he said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. I am the one who was dead. Now I am alive. So Jerusalem is not only sacrifice. Jerusalem is also victory. But if these disciples did not go through the Jerusalem of sacrifice, they would never have received the victory of Jerusalem. They would never have recognized the risen Lord and the joy of seeing Christ alive right before their eyes. Go to your Jerusalem. Go courageously. If God is putting a ministry in your heart, no matter how challenging, God will give you the grace to go through it. Well, our time is out. We have one more place. We'll go through it very, very fast. After Jerusalem, Jesus took the disciples into Mount Olives. Mount Olives, you know. And there on Mount Olives, he gave them the Great Commission. And he said to them, you know, words that bring hope even to my heart and your heart today. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I'm the most powerful, all power. This power is also yours as you go out and preach the good news to the entire world. And then he said to them, lo, I will be with you always until the end. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is tomorrow or after tomorrow? No. Jesus is now, right now. He's right this moment. He's with us. He's in our hearts. He's in our minds. Through his Holy Spirit, he is with us. This is our hope. That's why we call it the Mount Olives of Hope. And from Mount Olives, Jesus was lifted up into heaven. And as he was ascending to heaven, the disciples were looking up, and angels of the Lord came to them, and they said to them, "You men of Galilee, don't be astonished, don't be surprised. This same Jesus Christ who went up to heaven will come also back to you." We Christians have a great hope. We have wonderful hope. Jesus said, "My flock, my sheep, they will listen to my voice, and then they will follow me." Yeah, maybe through the Jordan of repentance, maybe through the Nazareth of rejection, maybe through the Capernaum of ministry, maybe through the Jerusalem of sacrifice. They will follow me, and I will give them what? I will give them what? You remember that verse? They'll follow me, and I will give them everlasting life. I will give them. Jesus gives to us everlasting life through his death and through his resurrection. So we do have hope in Jesus Christ. That's why we call it the Mount Olives of hope. That's hope for you and hope for all the believers in Jesus Christ who come from all over the world. It's been my joy to speak with you, but I urge you, by the love of God, I urge you by Jesus Christ our Lord, take this message to your heart. Repent of your sins. Be willing to stand for Jesus Christ. Be willing to serve him. If he asks you for a great challenge, take that challenge. And also live in hope all of your life. We are people of hope. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come here and be with your people. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved us so much to die on the cross for us. I pray, Lord, bless every individual. And as they are thinking about your Word, may the Holy Spirit convict them of any sin, or anything that is not right in their heart, that they may come to you, they can repent of their sins and receive their forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you will challenge them to do ministry here in Hawaii and to the rest of the world. Thank you, Lord, for your promise to be with us today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you were touched by this message, there are more great resources available on our website at enewhope.org. From our New Hope family to you, aloha.